Guys, I'm going to tell you, I've been looking forward to this, to coming back. I had such a good time when I was here last time. And, you know, last Sunday was the mark of our one-year anniversary of traveling. And so we've made it a year on the road. And we have no plans of stopping as of now. But it's been awesome. Most of you probably heard me speak last time. But if you didn't, just a quick recap. Both my wife and I are from Indiana. My wife and I have five beautiful children, and for the last 13 years, we pastored two different churches here in Indiana. And then last year, last Sunday a year ago, we resigned from our pastorate and launched out into full-time evangelistic ministry. And so we sold everything. We purchased a 36-foot motor home, and that has become our full-time home. So we live in that 24/7. And I just got to share with you because something happened. My wife has been on board the entire time. A lot of times we'll go meet people and they'll ask her the questions instead of me because I think people assume that I drug my wife and five kids out on the road. But the truth of the matter is when the Lord called us to do this, I told the Lord, I'll do anything. But I said, Lord, I don't believe it's your will for me to go travel and leave my wife and kids behind. So if this is what you want me to do, I want you to put it on my wife's heart and I want us to go as a family or I don't want to do it. And that's what the Lord did. He put it upon her heart. And she told me it's been 2 months ago now. We had been in Alabama and Mississippi over the winter and ministered there and in Florida. You know, that was a real rough ministry there. But my two-year-old, she says things like this when we pray. She says, Jesus, thank you for church and the beach and cookies and ice cream. So she can't wait to go back to Alabama. But anyway, my wife said to me 2 months ago, she said, I feel like we're in this for the long haul. And I already knew she was on board, but man, I just felt so good. Guys, isn't it great when you're a team and you're going toward the things of God and after the things of God and you're on the same track? And so it's just such a blessing to be traveling with my wife and kids and to be here in Kokomo today. We will be in Indiana until August. Lord willing, we go there to Pennsylvania in August and November. We're making plans to go to Arizona and stay south. And so it's exciting. Keep us in your prayers. I put some cards on the table. It has our name, our website. I don't want to say a lot about ourselves, but I just want you to know that if you want to Facebook us, text us or whatever for prayer needs, we have people doing that all the time. I've had three people today already that we've met on the road that have sent me things, asked me to pray for them. I want to say this, that in the last 2 months, we've seen more people healed than I've ever seen. When we were in Mississippi, we began to see it, but when we come back to Indiana over by Terre Haute, we were at two different churches, and a state representative was there in one of the services. He came forward. We prayed for him. It was just a calm setting. Prayed for him. He was miraculously healed. I didn't even know it till after service. We've had a lady of blind eye open. We've had people being healed. Last service I preached two Sundays ago, we had five first-time conversions. And so God is doing some great things, and that's why we're doing what we're doing, is to build his kingdom and not our own. It's not to make a name for ourselves, but it's to build the kingdom of God. And so I want to ask you this morning, I want to title my message with a question. That question is this: are you ready for the Holy Spirit to interrupt your agenda? Because I'm telling you what, he totally interrupted my agenda because I was comfortable with what I was doing, and then the Holy Spirit asked me if I was willing to go. I always used to want to go, but now I thought, well, Lord, now I have five kids and I'm you know, been married a while. Now I go. But it was God's timing. God's timing is everything. I don't know about you, but I want to be in the center of God's will. And I know that when it's his time, it's the right time. And I want to talk about the Holy Spirit interrupting our agenda. You know, all of us have an agenda, and your agenda may be very good. I'm not saying that your agenda is the wrong agenda and you need God's agenda. You may have an agenda. You may have a plan that's very much in line with what God has called you to do. It may be very biblical. You may be living for Christ and doing right what he wants you to do. But I believe there's two different ways that the Holy Spirit interrupts every man and woman of God, interrupts their agenda. I think there's two different kinds of interruptions. I think there's a prompt interruption where all of a sudden you're going about your day, going about your plan, and boom, something changes, and all of a sudden you know you're supposed to do something different. And then there's prolonged interruptions where the Spirit of God moves upon you and you have this feeling or this knowing that down the road you're going to do something for God. Something's going to change, but you don't know when. And so you wait and you pray and you stay in the Word and you stay faithful and you seek the Lord at all times. But there's those kind of interruptions. I think of an interruption I had not very long ago before we left the church that we were pastoring. And there was a man, I'm not going to say his name just because I want to spare some of his family. He has a lot of unsaved family members. But this man, I used to visit him on a consistent basis. He was 80 years old. I would go to his home and I would visit him. And his wife was a part of our church. She was a sweet little lady. And he was the meanest old cuss I'd ever met in my life. This guy was just, I mean, he cussed like a sailor. He put a sailor to shame. And I'd go to his house and he knew the preacher was there. So what did he want to do? He wanted to embarrass me. He wanted to question me. He wanted to, you know, get in a debate with me. And I wouldn't do it. I just kept a smile on my face. I just listened to him. He'd always let me pray for him before I'd leave. This went on for years. And then he got put into a nursing home. And I went to the nursing home. And now his wife wasn't around. So when I'd walk in the room, he'd start cussing me out. Nurses, it didn't matter. I'd walk in the room and he'd say, well, there's that blankety blank preacher. And I thought, great. You know, and so I would go just rarely. And then I told God, I'm done. I'm not going to visit this old guy another I'm done. I said, you have had your time with him. You know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. That's what I thought. I'm done. I said, Lord, you can deal with this man. I'm never going back again. So months had went by, and I had my plan. I had my agenda. I told my wife a little bit of what I had planned for the day, and I got to the front door, and I felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit. This is one of those just, you know, a prompt interruption, and I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, go visit this man. And I thought, oh, I don't want to. I've got this. I've got that. I got to do this. I got to do that. And so I told my wife, I said, hey, I'm going to Columbus. I'm going to meet with this man. I went there. And when I got to the parking lot, my phone rang. A minister that I had only met two times and I hadn't seen in years. He had my number because we had been in contact 2 years prior. He called me. He says, I can only tell you I'm calling you today because the Holy Spirit put you on my heart. And I just want you to know I'm praying for you with whatever you're getting ready to face. And I thought, okay, this is cool. So I walked in, and I tapped on the door. It was hanging open. There he was in his wheelchair out by the window. He's in it, his mind is perfectly strong. He's in his right mind. I walk in there, and he turns, and he just starts to weep. And I go over to him. I knew something had happened. I thought maybe his wife had just passed. I hadn't heard about it. I didn't know what was going on. And he took me by the hand, and he said, I'm so glad you came today. And I said, well, I'm glad I came today, too, but I didn't want to come. I didn't say that. I just said, I'm glad I came today, too. And then he asked me, he says, why are you here? I said, Jack, I didn't ever want to see you again. I didn't have to tell him that, but I did. I said, I didn't ever want to see you again. I said, but when I got ready to leave the house this morning, the Lord told me that you needed me to come see you. And he said, I've been sitting here looking out this window, and I'm ready to end my life. And he said, I have not prayed, and I told God, if you are real, would you send somebody today to show me that you're real, that I could feel your power today? If not, I'm going to take my life. So I said, well, Jack, you're ready to give your life to Christ right now. And he says, well, I'm ready. I took him by the hand. I led him in prayer. I had him pray. When we got done, he just started praying over me. And so, I mean, he just wept, and he, you could just see just a transformation in his life. And I didn't even tell his wife. That was on the weekend, on a Friday. And I thought, I'm going to wait and see what happens. Sunday, I went to church. She comes up to me with big tears in her eyes, and she says, you're not going to believe it. I went to visit him, and she said, as soon as I went in there, he grabbed me by the hand, asked me to forgive him for the way he treated me all these years and prayed over me. And she said, and then he told me that you showed up and he accepted Christ. Now I'm telling you what, guys, what we need. We're living in a day like we've never seen. There's darkness all around us. There are those that need somebody. They need a man of God. They need somebody that's going to bring them the message, that's going to pray for them, that's going to give them a good word for the day. But if we have only got our agenda, and in our agenda, we don't have a thought about it, or we're not have a plan about going and telling anybody about Christ. You say, no, I'm busy. I've got this. I've got that. Listen, we're all busy. But if you just say, Lord, I'm willing for you to interrupt my agenda anytime you want to build your kingdom. It can happen and it can be very quick. It doesn't have to ruin your day. I'm telling you what, you let the Holy Spirit interrupt your agenda and you're going to have one of the best days you've ever had. But it comes down to saying, okay, Lord, here I am. I want you to do in me what you want to do in me. I think there's a couple ways that you and I can propel an interruption. Because you may say, I want God to interrupt my agenda. I want to be a blessing to somebody. I want God to use me to build his kingdom. I think there's a couple ways we can really start to see that happen. But I think if we don't understand and know what his purpose is for us, it's not ever going to happen. Because as men, we all identify by what we do, and we have purpose in what we do, and you know. But I'm just going to tell you, when I was in Alabama, I was sitting in a service on a Wednesday night. We had done 10 services at this church, and then we had a Wednesday night where we weren't traveling, and so we went back to that church just to be fed and hear that pastor. And he asked his congregation a question. He said, "If I was to ask all of you in here, what is your purpose? What would you say?" Well, you know what? Right away, I wrote it down and I showed it to my wife because it's just, it burns in me. And you could take this as your own, because it's nothing that has to do with the ministry I'm doing, the way that I'm living. It's just a great purpose, and I believe it's from God for every one of us. And this is what it is. For such a time as this, I have been placed upon this earth to hear the voice of God and do His will, whatever it is. Period. That has burned in me for years and years and years. That's my purpose in life. My purpose is this. I know that for such a time as this, I have been put on this earth. And this is for every one of you men in here. For such a time as this, God has put you here now. He could have put you back in the Old Testament. He could have put you at the time of Christ. You could be not in existence for another 20 or 30 years if the Lord tarries. But He chose to put you here now. And it's not by coincidence that you're here now. And why are we here? Well, yes, we have responsibilities. We have plans. We have a agendas, and all of that is good. And if you don't have a good plan, then things can just fall apart and nothing flat. You know, even though we sold everything and purchased a motor home and taken the gospel out, we had a year plan. Some would say, well, that's not very long. Well, that's what time we had, and we planned. And we planned, and some of our plans came about the way we planned, and other things changed. But I found the Lord honored that. The Lord gave us words, and the Lord, through His word and through His still small voice of His Spirit and through others speaking into our lives. But we had a plan. Nothing wrong with having a plan. But listen, we also have to know this, that in the plan that we have, the Bible says that man is the one who plans, but how many of you know the Lord is the one who directs our steps? He is the one who will do it if we'll let Him. But I believe there's a lot of things Holy Spirit would like to do in you and through you that He's not capable of doing in you and through you because He's given you a free will and you're saying no. And maybe you're not saying no, but I want you to take it to a whole nother level to where you start asking the Lord, where you just start saying, Lord, today, I know what I've got planned. I've got a lot going on. But Lord, throughout this day, use me for Your glory. Lord, do whatever You want. You know what happened to me yesterday morning? Yesterday morning, I got up and we were getting the kids going. We homeschooled the kids and we had our morning prayer, and I sat down and I knew I needed to order propane for my propane tank, for hot water and all of that. But I wasn't going to do it for a couple days. I was going to have it delivered on Friday. But I had this quick unction, just like, call now. Why? Or whatever. I just grabbed my cell phone. I called. They came to deliver it. I know the delivery guy. I used to work with him right out of high school. But you know what happened? When he came there that day, he needed a fresh word from heaven. And when I went out to his truck and we began to talk, he began to share what was on his mind, and I began to share Christ with him. He's a believer. It wasn't me sharing with a non-believer, but he needed a touch from heaven. He needed somebody to speak something good into his life. And then when I walked away from his truck, I realized that's why I was supposed to call him now. See, it's just an interruption in your day. All you got to do is learn to be sensitive. But you need to know this, that's why you're put here. Matter of fact, if you look with me in the book of Acts, there's a great passage of Scripture, Acts chapter 17. Matter of fact, Paul has been talking with some deep philosophers. He's here and he's talking with them. They begin to question him in this passage and they're even mocking him a little bit. But he's with these guys that are very intellectual. They're smart guys. But I want you to look at how much awesome theology is packed in verse 26 of Acts chapter 17. He says this to all these philosophers. He says, from one man, he made every nation of men. You know how many Christians don't even believe that today? Let's just take it for what it is. From one man, he made every nation of men. From one man, he made all the world. Every nation of men. And then listen to what he says. This is why. That they should inhabit the whole earth. And, listen to this, he determined the time set for them. You're not here by accident. You're here right now today because I believe God has an appointment with you to be here today. There's all the places you could have been. You say, well, is my life that, is it all that, is it that important? I mean, is He in charge of every single thing? Oh, believe me, there's plenty of things I did that weren't a part of God's plan for my life because sin is never a part of His plan. But I can tell you this, that I know overall the big picture that I've been placed on this earth because He determined my time to be now. He determined your time to be now, that you would be alive and be thriving and flowing in the power of God in 2017. He chose to put you here now. And your life has meaning, it has purpose, and there's so much that God wants to do in your life. And this is what He says. He says He determined right here the time set for them and the exact place where they should live, the exact places where they should live. Now, I like that He says places because I live in all kinds of places. My home is where I park it. So right now, it's like, where's our home? Our home is wherever we go. Now, it finally caught on with the kids after about 7 months of traveling and living in the RV. And we were at Grandma and Grandpa's house, and one of them said, I want to go home. Where was home? In the driveway. We could be in Mississippi, and we could be at a Walmart. One of the kids say, I'm ready to go home. Home is an RV. I love that. Hey, it finally is like, this is our home. They caught on to it. But he determined the places. You know what I'm going to tell you, as we've been traveling, there have been times we went to one church in North Vernon, and we were there on a Sunday morning, and we had just launched out, and this was like our second service. And after the service, we knew, I don't want this to sound weird, I just want to be honest with you. We knew what was given, and that didn't matter. We're not doing this for money. We're doing it because God said do it. God provides. We won't worry about it. But you do have to also, you have to look at what you have and do the right thing, right? And so we looked at what we had, but we both felt like we were supposed to go to Kentucky. We both felt that we were supposed to take the motor home to this church in Shepherdsville, Kentucky. We had never been to that church before, but I knew somebody that was there that Sunday, but we knew nobody there. And I said, well, we can go if that's what you feel like we're supposed to do. But I said, if we do it, we're going to make it back home, and that's about it. And she said, I really feel like we're supposed to go. I said, let's do it. So we drove to Shepherdsville, we pulled in the parking lot, and here comes out a whole bunch of people out of that church, and they said, it's the Duggar family. You know, the family was like 11, 12 kids, I don't know, 14 kids. And we laughed, and you know, we started going up there, and here comes this lady. She grabs my wife, and they start hugging, and they both cry, and I thought, who is this? Well, Nadine didn't know she was the pastor's wife there. They're not in the fellowship that we're in or anything, and she had met this lady years ago. And the lady didn't know what we were doing. She had been at Nadine sitting around a round table on a Bible study years ago. I don't think Nadine even knew she was a pastor's wife. They invited us in. I didn't preach or anything. We just were there for the service. So guys, you know what happened in that service? I don't say this. Look, we're not in need. We're not lacking. I'm telling you, this is when you just need to obey the Holy Spirit. We felt like we should go, and so we went. And you know what happened? People started coming over to us and shake my hand. And when they did, they gave me one of those church handshakes with some green in it. And people started doing that. And then somebody came up and handed me a check. And they said, here, this is for you to buy your kids some pop. Do you know what? When we left that service, we left it with our bills and everything covered for that month. So see, when you obey the voice of the Holy Spirit, sometimes he's going to do something in you that's going to increase your faith and let you know he is in control. If you let him. If you just won't be fearful and just follow him and what he's asking you to do. Because he has put you here on this earth, and he's determined this is your time. This is now. He's put you here now and to go wherever he wants you to go. And you say, well, I don't want to be crazy and go all over the place. You could be in one location all of your life and grow up there, die there. That is not what I'm talking about at all. It's are you willing in the location that you're at, wherever you are, for the Holy Spirit to interrupt you, to be a blessing to someone else, to build the kingdom of God, to do things that he put you on this earth to do. And you say, Lord, I want to do more. I want to do what you've asked me to do. That's what you want, you ask him, and now you get ready. It's as simple as that. Listen, you were saved by faith, by grace through faith. You ask Christ into your life to forgive you of your sins, and then what do? You believe. You believe that he paid the price upon the cross. You believe that he already took care of it, that he rose from the dead victorious, and because of him, you're a child of God, a new creation. All things have become old, and everything else is new in your life. You're a child of the King. You're a child of God, and by faith, you walk that out. Now, you know what else you need to believe? That when you call out to him and say, Lord, use me today and tomorrow and this week and this month to build your kingdom. Now, you know what you need to do? Walk by faith. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to make anything happen. You don't have to work things up. You can just say, okay, Lord, I'm asking you. And not, so now when you feel it, listen, here's what's amazing. Holy Spirit's not going to ask you to sin. He's not going to ask you to do something that's crazy just for the fact that it's crazy. There's a lesson in it. Somebody's going to get touched. Somebody's going to get blessed. And you're always going to get blessed in it. Now, you know what I also think we need to do when we're ready for the Holy Spirit to interrupt our agenda is get not only to know his purpose, but to know his presence. I think about Moses. Moses, I believe, had this great purpose to be a deliverer for God's people, but he did it in the wrong time and in the wrong way. And so he ends up in the back of the desert for 40 years with that purpose burning inside of him. And when the time is right and when God calls him out at the burning bush, there's so much of Moses' life that it's hard to narrow it all down. But the Lord calls him out and says, now I've heard their cry. I've seen the tyranny of my people. And so I want you to go and do this thing. And he says, Lord, who am I? See, when he was ready, the time wasn't right. But now that he's not ready, the time was right. You can't wait till you feel like everything's right and the time is right. You got to listen to the Lord. Because if you and I do it just because we feel it or we think it or we've planned it, that can be good and that can be bad. Because all that matters is it what the Lord wants? Is it his timing? Because his timing is perfect. And so what happens is, you know the story. Now it was Moses' time to go and deliver God's people. And you know the story. They go out and they cross the Red Sea on dry ground. They see, they have the fire by day, the cloud by night. They see the manna from heaven. They when they're bitten by snakes, they look to the serpent on the pole that we now have on the back of like every ambulance around, which is a sign of healing. They looked and they were healed from the snakes that had bit them. And you have all of these amazing things that are happening in the wilderness. And then in Exodus 33, they come to this place where Moses has had the tabernacle of meeting, and he has been meeting with God face to face as a man meets with another man. You know, when you talk about the presence of God, it can be like, well, his presence is everywhere. And then there is his manifest power and presence. You know, one of the words that describes his presence in the Bible is simply face to face. It's meeting with God. It's an encounter with God. My first encounter with God that I'll never forget, I was 8 years old. You know what happened to my fourth child that's 8 years old? We were in Jasonville, Indiana, doing a service, and she came up, and I thought, well, she must have a mosquito bite or something, because at 8 years old, she usually comes up for these little prayer requests, but I always pray for her. You know what she did? She came up, and I said, Hannah, what do you need prayer for? She looked at me, and her eyes were full of tears. And you don't have to have any emotion, but sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. She looked at me and she says, Dad, I want to get saved. I prayed with her. She gave her heart to Christ. She went back to sit with Mom. Mom couldn't come up with her because she had the two-year-old who was fighting some sleep, you know. My wife told me that for the next 45 minutes, as we were praying for other people, that she sat there and she literally wept for 45 minutes. My wife said, honey, are you crying? Are you sad? Are you happy tears? And she says, Mom, these are happy tears. You know what she was having? A moment with God as though he was face to face, but yet she didn't see him. Hey, we just come out of Easter, and you know what? Blessed are those who haven't seen, and yet they believe. You and I haven't seen him face to face, but ask me how I know he lives. I'll tell you how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Our server isn't Savior, and I know he's in this world today. And the Bible tells me that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So I know that where I go, Christ goes with me. And so we can walk in the authority and the anointing that we have as a believer in Christ. But you know, Moses comes to this place where he's been in this tent of meeting, and he's meeting with God face to face as a man would meet with another man. That's what it says. In verse 11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend, and Moses would return to the camp. But Moses would go, but young Joshua would lay there. He would stay there outside of the tent because he just wanted to be close to the presence of God. And I want to wrap this up. So look at what happens. The Lord tells him, he tells him, I know you by name. He said, and into verse 12, And you know, I found favor with you. And Moses says, Lord, if you're pleased with me, teach me your ways. You know, man, it's okay for us to say, Lord, teach me. You and I need to know his presence. You know how you get to know the presence of someone? You spend time with them. I met my wife when she was 8 years old, and I was 10, 11 years old when I met her. You know what? I didn't date her till my senior year of high school, and we've been married going on 18, 19 years, somewhere in there. And she forgets too, so she's not easily offended by that. And so, but you know, I thought I really knew her, but how many of you know you really know somebody when you marry them and then you wake up next to them and you spend the day with them and then you go to bed at night with them and you wake up the next day with them and year after year? You know what floored me is, like, as our kids got older, my wife is different now than she was when we got married because she's learned how to handle kids and adults, and she's become a woman of five children. And so things aren't the same way they were back then. They've changed, but they're good, and I would even say better. But you know what? I spend time with her. In her presence, I get to know her, and she gets to know me. If we just go our opposite directions whenever we have a spat, we're not going to really get to know one another and how to help one another. But I'm telling you what, the more time you spend with the Lord and you say, how can I spend time in his presence? You spend time in his presence when you open his holy word and you begin to take his living word to heart. And you say, Lord, teach me. Hey, Moses said it. Moses had done all these amazing things for God. And you know what he's still saying? Lord, teach me. Because he needed the Lord's presence in his life. You know, man, while you're driving down the road in your truck, your car, whatever you're doing, you can just start talking to the Lord and say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I want you in my life. I want you to use me today. Lord, change my heart. Lord, help my marriage. Help my children. Help me in my workplace. Lord, increase me, Lord. Increase my territory. Lord, do in me what you want to do in me. You just start pouring out your life. God, see what happens is when you begin to open your mouth and you begin to do it, you just begin sometimes to feel his presence. Other times you're just doing it by faith. You may feel nothing, but I'm telling you, in your life, there's going to be the evidence that you've been closer to Christ because you've been spending time with him. And Moses is there with him. And then, you know, this amazing thing happened. He says, teach me. And he says, the Lord says, I'm going to go with you. He says in verse 14, and Moses says, if your presence doesn't go with me, then I don't want to go. Listen to what Moses says. And I'll close with this. He says, how will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me from your people, from all the people on the face of the earth? Can I tell you, men of God, what will distinguish you and I from the others in the world? It's the presence of God. You can't be changed without his presence. You can make decisions on your own and do things right, but it's the presence and power of the Holy Spirit that really changes you and me from the inside out. And it doesn't matter what background we have in the faith. Listen, it's Christ and his Spirit that does this. He changes us. He changes us and he empowers us. He equips us. We have all that we need because Christ is in us. All we've got to do is know this. You say, well, that's all I got to do? Yeah, there's more than that, but I got a short time. Here's what you got to do. Why are you here? I'm here to know him, to hear his voice, and do whatever he asks me to do. That's why I'm here. Yes, I'm also a father, and I'm a husband, and yes, I go and I preach, and I could identify with this and with that, but I'll tell you why I'm here. I'm here to hear his voice and do whatever he asks me to do. When I hear his voice, I'm at the point where I start to learn it more and more, but I'm not perfected. I don't like hear his voice all the time. Sometimes I wonder, is that me? Is it the pizza I ate at 2 o'clock in the morning speaking right now, or is that the Holy Spirit? But I'm getting to a place where I understand and I can feel the unction of the Holy Spirit more and more. The more time you spend in his presence. And you know what he says after Moses tells him, I don't want to go unless your presence goes with me. He takes it to the next level and he says, Lord, show me your glory. You know what I'm asking? You know what I want? I want the glory of the Lord. Guys, it wasn't just for Moses that he could go into the tabernacle of meeting and be with the Lord face to face. You say, well, you mean we can see him face to face? All I'm telling you is this. You can get so close to Jesus that it's as though you can feel him in the room. And you'll be forever changed. One moment in the glory of God will change you more than 1,000 sermons could ever change you. And I'm not belittling sermons. We need them. We need to be in the Word, we need to hear the Word, we need to practice the Word, but I'm telling you what, a moment in the presence of the Lord where he shows up and he opens your heart up and reveals things to you and touches you and frees you. Listen, men of God, this is what we need is the presence of God. We are living in some dark hours. We're living in some really critical days. We're living in a time where I'm going to tell you know what the next generation needs? Guys, do you know what the next generation needs? Do you know what my kids and your kids and the teenagers and the young adults need? They need the move of God. You say, well, what does that look like? You don't have to package it by this church or this move or that move. We simply need God to move. And I'm telling you, I see God move in some situations where you could hear a pin drop, where it's that kind of service, and I've seen God move in services where people are jumping and shouting and you can feel the floor moving because of the basement and the floor is pretty weak. It doesn't matter to me what kind of service or style you put us in. If we say, Lord, all I want is your presence. I want you to show me your glory, your goodness. I want to be changed by you. I'm telling you, the Bible says those that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. And if you ask, you're going to receive. I've given up on worrying about if I ask, am I going to get something bad? No way. If you ask for a fish, he's not going to give you a serpent. You ask for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. He's going to give good things to his children. You're his child. Guys, I'm going to tell you, you and I need the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know what I need? I need the presence of the Lord to raise my 5 kids. Because there are things that I'm telling you what, I can't remember. My dad's over here. I might be like, how would dad have done it? Well, you know what? He did good, but you know what? The heavenly father's always going to be better than my earthly father, right? And he is a great father. He did great. But I'm going to tell you what, I can call and I can ask him, but I'm telling you who else I can ask that knows way more, my Heavenly Father. I can go straight to him. How can I be a better husband? And then you know what? Just, man, you know, you have to over-spiritualize things. I know you've been, oh, well, he's getting spooky spiritual. But listen, you're going to ask God to help you and teach you. Don't ignore it when you feel the prompting of the Spirit to do something about it. Lord, I want to tell the world about Jesus, but I don't know who. And then you're at Walmart and you see somebody and you feel like you're just supposed to say, hey, God bless you. And that's your start right there. I don't know. You can't start rebuking the devil because the devil doesn't want you to do it anyway. You're going to have to battle your flesh, but now you have to step out by faith because you've been asking God and now you're ready. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you what I want. I want more of Holy Spirit interruptions in my life. I want more of the Holy Spirit's interruptions in my life. Because you know what? I got one life to live. And it's not about how much money I make or the legacy that I leave. It's how much I know my Father and He knows me and He'll flow through me to do whatever He wants done through me. Because I don't know about you, but I know this, that when I gave my life to Christ, I died to myself. And I'm no longer mine. I've been bought with a price and I'm supposed to glorify Him with everything that I've got. My mind, my spirit, my body, everything. It's supposed to be to bring God glory. And I fell at that many times as you do too. But you know how that gets better? When we keep going back to Jesus and we say, here I am, Lord. Use me for your glory. I'm yours. I'm not mine. Do what you want to do in me. Now listen, don't be fearful to ask Him. Don't be afraid. Most of you, He's not going to ask you to change your career or make a massive change in your life. And some of you, maybe He will. But don't be afraid of that, because whatever He wants is better than what you're doing now anyway. Amen? How many of you love the Lord? I want to ask you right now, if there's anybody here that you've never given your life to Christ before, you say, you know what, maybe today there's an interruption in your agenda. Maybe you've been a good person, but if you were to die right now, you don't know that you'd go to heaven. You can't base it on works or that I hope or whatever, but you say, I've never truly admitted that I have sinned against Christ and turned from my way of living and given my life to Christ and received Him. So that you would now be dead to yourself and alive unto God, and that His power would live through you. And you say, you know what? I do. You know, you think about Saul before he was converted to Paul on the road to Damascus. Talk about an interruption of his agenda. He had an agenda, and God showed up and interrupted his entire agenda. You think about Noah in those horrible days. All of a sudden, his agenda is interrupted for the next, it's debatable, 60 to 100 years, however long it took him to build the ark. He didn't have that on his agenda, but it changed. And you may have come here today and you may have thought, you know what I found that I truly need is I need to walk with God through Jesus. I want to be alive unto God. I want to be born again. And if that's you right now and you say, I'm done, I want to receive Christ in my life, I want to be born again, I want you to raise your hand. Jesus called people publicly. And I want you to raise your hand. And by doing it, you're saying, I want to give my life to Christ. Look, you're surrounded by good men right here. Amen. 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 Now, all of you men, that you raise your hand. You know what? What you simply said is, I'm done. I'm done living for me. I'm done. I don't want to live for me anymore. God, I want to live for you. You're saying, I admit that I'm a sinner, that I've sinned in my life. I admit it, and Lord, I confess my sins unto you. I believe that you died and that you rose from the dead and that you're alive now. You'd be willing right now to pray with me and ask Christ to forgive you of your sins. And there is an exchange. You're dying to yourself and you're taking on Christ. You're done. You're leaving your past behind. It doesn't mean you'll be perfect. You enter into the kingdom of God as a Christian by repentance, and you learn to live the Christian life by living a life of repentance. So pray with me, would you? Lord, we love you, and Lord, we thank you that your presence is so strong. Lord, you're calling us as men to you. Lord, those that have raised your hand today, I want you in your own heart to pray with me right now, even in your own words, or you can use mine. We ask you to forgive us, Lord, of all of our sin. We admit that we have sinned and we have tried good works and it's just not good enough. We've had an agenda, we've had a plan, and whether that's good enough or not, we know that without you in it, it's never going to be good. So, Lord, we confess that we're lost in our sin and we ask you to forgive us of all of our sins right now. Jesus, I thank you that your word says that when we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us of all of our wrongdoing. So thank you that right now, Lord, you're cleansing men, you're cleansing hearts right now. Guys, your sin is as far as the east from the west. He no longer remembers anything you ever did, even when you were young. If it was yesterday, he no longer remembers it. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. Lord, thank you that you went and you died, you overcame, you rose from the dead, and you're alive. So Lord, we receive you into our lives. That, Lord, you would be alive inside of us. Lord, we're dead to ourselves, Lord. We're done with our old life. We turn from it, and we turn to you, Lord. Now, Lord, we ask you to live through us, Lord. Lord, strengthen us right now, every man in this room, Lord. I ask you, Lord, for your spirit, your love, and your power to begin to infuse us and flow through us, Lord. Lord, we're done with our own way of living. Lord, we're done with our own thought patterns. Lord, we want to take on your mind. We want to take on your heart, Lord. So, Lord, we choose you right now, Lord. We lay our lives down, Lord, and we thank you that you already gave your life for us so we could have new life today in Jesus' name. Now, every man in this room that you say, I'm ready for the Holy Spirit to interrupt my agenda, I want you to just stand up right now. You're just in agreement that you want the Holy Spirit to interrupt your agenda. You're already saved. You're all born again. I want you to just stand. I want you to say, I want you just right now, just stand and say, Lord, I want you to interrupt my agenda. Lord, we ask you right now as we stand before you, Lord, we're not just saying that that would be nice, but Lord, we're asking you, we're giving you full permission to interrupt our agenda, to interrupt our day. Lord, come and wreck us, Lord God. Some of us, all we need is to be wrecked by your presence, by your power. Lord, show us your glory, Lord. Let your goodness pass before us, Lord God. Lord, as these men go back to their daily routine, to their work, to their families, to their things that they have planned for today, I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would move mightily upon them, that your presence would be very strong with them wherever they go, and that, Lord, you would use us all for your glory and for your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let's give the Lord Jesus Christ a hand because he is doing great things in us. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Now, guys, I just felt impressed to do this. You may not want to do it, and you don't have to, because this is no cult setting. I know that, right? You're free to do what you want to. But I'm telling you what, we are warriors in the army of Christ. And all soldiers know how to give a shout. My father-in-law's a Marine. He knows how to do the oorah, whatever it is, all right? They know how to give a victory shout. And I want us to do something. It doesn't matter if the whole Y hears us. I want us to give a shout of praise unto our God Almighty that we are soldiers in the army of God. And we're going to give a war cry. We're going to give a war shout and say, Lord, we're getting ready to be used by you.